couple of weeks ago, I think it was two Sundays back, I started, I shared with you, we talked about the king, the keys, and the kingdom. And we pointed out that we would be speaking a lot about these things because we are looking for God by his grace and by his spirit to help us to walk out the manifestation of all that he has promised and all that he has spoken to us in the past year. I want to continue along those lines today, and I want to get your participation and your involvement. Okay, as we talk about the king, the keys, and the kingdom, I want to focus on the key of understanding today, but I just want to give some background and introduction, so to speak. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding are three very important keys or principles that are given to us by our King, the Lord Jesus. He's given us those keys and many other keys so that we would learn how to function effectively within our kingdom. When he communicates with us, he communicates speaking about wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And I want to talk to you about those keys and those principles that he has given to us so that we can know without a shadow of a doubt how to function, how to operate, how to work within the kingdom of God. You know, God is God. His kingdom is his kingdom. We are his children. If we are not, we can become his children, the sons in the kingdom of God. We know who our king is. We know our purpose. We know why we were created. We know what God's intent is. We know that God, who is a God of purpose, he's a God of plan, design, and objectivity. And that everything that God does, he does for a divine purpose. When he created you and me, he created us for a divine purpose. If you and I would ever discover our purpose, then we would enter into fulfillment in our own, on our own personal lives. In other words, when I find out what I was created for, and I begin to function and operate in that, then I become content. I become fulfilled. See, so we are looking at the words of the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom. He said, once you are born into my family, once I birth you into my family, then I have all these keys, and these keys will help you to unlock all the doors that are in the kingdom. Everything that's in the kingdom is available to you and me. And God has given us keys so that we can enter into each door. I made this illustration before. Being born again is like coming into the foyer of the kingdom of God. And when you get into the foyer, you have all these rooms, all these doors that are available to you. And God has given you keys, the keys of the kingdom, that you can basically unlock any door and go in into that room and experience all that God has for you. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to be satisfied. God wants to accomplish his work and his will on the earth through you. He has no hands on the earth but yours. He has no feet on the earth but yours. He has no mouthpieces but yours. You, as a member of the kingdom, the family of God, you're the ones that God wants to use. And when God created man, there was like a portal called heaven. Or called Eden, that would more or less link heaven to earth. And God, who's the God of heaven and controls everything in heaven, his desire was to, through this portal called Eden, create an earth. And when he created this earth, then he was going to create man or mankind, like to be like him, so that as he governed heaven, so mankind would govern earth. But mankind cannot govern earth unless they remain attached basically to him. So that's what that portal that we called Eden is really, you know, was really all about. Now what happened when the man disobeyed God, then he was driven out of Eden. And when he was driven out of Eden, then of course he could no longer know the mind of God, the assignment of God, the purpose of God, the will of God. He couldn't know these things. So he was unable to govern earth. As a matter of fact, he forfeited the right to govern earth because the one who actually deceived the woman, which became the God. And so God sent his son. His son has come, who is Jesus, and his son has come to seek and to save all that was lost. And what was lost really was the opinion that the man had given. So God came to send Jesus to restore the man and allow him to take everything that he lost to get it back. And so that's what we're talking about when we, again, when we say the prayer that God, Jesus taught his disciples to pray. We see it all in that prayer. Our Father, you have to be part of his kingdom. That means you have to become a child of God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We've got to recognize and reverence the name and the authority of God. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. That's God's purpose. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth just as it is done in heaven. When you go through that prayer, that is the whole operation of what God intended from the beginning. And of course, you know that he intended to do it through mankind. That's why he created man. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let that man have dominion over all the works of our hands. Now, when God communicates with man, he used these keys and these principles that he's given to us. If you and I do not take these principles and take these keys and allow them to become a part of our lives, then we are going to spend the time upon the earth in unfulfilled lives. We would be subject to the curse that came in the world when the man sinned. You know that is found in Genesis chapter 3. Curse was the ground because of the man's sake. You know, there was a curse that came upon the land because of what the man did. If you and I don't come into Christ in his kingdom and begin to understand how to function from that kingdom, then we would be subject to the curse that is in this land, in this world. So God has communicated to us through these keys, these principles that he's given to us. Now, when we look at this, three of those major keys would be, as we said, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. When God communicates with us, he uses those three things to communicate with us: wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So let's define them. We define knowledge. What is knowledge? What is knowledge? I gave this to you a couple weeks ago, but knowledge is information. Knowledge is information. Now, knowledge can be very dangerous. On the other hand, knowledge can be very good. Right? What was the tree that was placed in the garden, in the midst of the garden? What was it called? It was, one of them was called the tree of the knowledge, good and evil. It wasn't just the tree of the knowledge of evil, but it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So, let me make this statement that the Bible makes about knowledge. Knowledge by itself puffs up. Knowledge by itself makes one prideful. So, though God gives us knowledge, that knowledge that God gives to us has to be balanced. Knowledge must be balanced with wisdom. What is wisdom? Seeing as God sees, seeing life from God's perspective. There are only two perspectives. There's God's perspective and other perspective. If you see life from God's perspective and you begin to apply what you see from God's perspective, that is wisdom. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:7 that wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the main thing. But it goes on in that same verse. It says, when you're getting wisdom, with all you're getting of wisdom, make sure you get understanding. Right? So, knowledge can't be by itself. Wisdom, when you get it, can't be by itself, because when you get wisdom, you've got to get understanding with it. Right? Wisdom is the principal thing, the main thing. You can't get wisdom without getting knowledge. Right? You have knowledge, you have wisdom, and with that wisdom, you have to have understanding. So those are the three things that God, he uses those three things, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, to help us. Knowledge by itself, because if you do, you'll just be proud. It will puff you up and it will take you in the wrong direction. So when you get knowledge, you've got to get wisdom, you've got to see that knowledge, or you get to get have to have knowledge from that comes from God's perspective. Now, everything in life functions along those lines. For example, all the conflicts that you have and I have in our lives, every conflict, we can trace the conflicts in life to a violation of the wisdom or knowledge of God. Every conflict that we have. If you are experiencing any kind of conflict in your life, you can trace that conflict to the place where God's word or seeing life from God's perspective was violated, and it was done from another perspective. Isn't that wonderful? Which means that it simplifies your life and mine. We can trace every conflict. What we have a lot of times, we have conflicts when we're growing up, we have youth conflicts, and those youth conflicts when we grow up, with those youth conflicts that were never resolved, then they become adult conflicts. Shared this with you before, with the young man who said, I'm so tired of having to be told everything to do, you know, in my home. I can't wait till, you know, I'm old enough to leave. And the minute that he's old enough, he says, now I'm going to go into the army. And he leaves and he goes to the army. And when he gets to the army, then he recognizes that he's dealing with the same conflict. He's being told when to get up, when to go to bed, where to go, where not to go, what you could do, what you can't do. So the conflict that he had when he was at home, when he left home, he experienced that conflict outside. Now, if he had learned how to resolve the conflicts that were his youth conflicts or the conflicts that he had at home, then he would go anywhere and be able to handle any situation. Right? We mentioned this again, a young lady who says, you know, who wants to get married, and reason why she wants to get married is because she wants to be on her own and she wants to get out from under her parents' authority. Now, we know that that's not everybody doesn't have that reason. I'm giving an illustration. Okay, so she leaves, and the first man that comes along, she marries that man. To find out only that now she's left her parents' authority, and then she's come under this man's authority. But only thing, this man doesn't treat her like her parents treat her. This man abuses her. Conflicts in life. So the next thing you do, of course, you know, you take the next step. Well, next thing, I have to get out from this situation. But I did make a vow to live with this person for forever, but now we are incompatible, so now I need to get a divorce. You know, so one conflict leads to another conflict, another violation of God's word just keeps going on and going on and going on. And that's what we end up doing in our lives. See, but God does not want us to be there. He wants to work everything out on our behalf. He wants us to understand life from God's perspective, understand the knowledge that comes from God, understand the wisdom that God gives to us, which is seeing life from His perspective or the principles that He set forth. Then, when we see life from that perspective, you know, from His perspective, then we can begin to get understanding. So let's talk about this understanding just for a moment. I gave you, I think, a definition of understanding. I want you to turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Proverbs 9:10. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. Remember Proverbs 4:7-8, it says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all your getting, get understanding. It says, exalt her and she shall promote you. And it goes on. That's Proverbs 4:7-8. Read the. But if you look at Proverbs chapter 9, we talked about knowledge is information. We talked about wisdom, which is seeing life from God's perspective, the perspective of the king. And now we're looking at understanding. Understanding. Proverbs 9:10. You have it? How many of you have the King James Version of the Bible? Just wave your hand. Okay, you King James folks, could you quickly read that for me? Ready? Begin. Okay, the fear of the Lord is the what? The beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy or the Holy One, the knowledge of the Holy or the Holy One, which means the knowledge of the King, or the knowledge of God, that is understanding. Does that make sense to you? The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now, if you're talking about the knowledge of the Holy One, what do you think the knowledge of the Holy One is? Huh? I didn't hear. His Word. Word, His precepts, His principles, that will tell us who the Holy One is. It will give us understanding of the Holy One. It will describe for us the Holy One, the knowledge of the Holy One. So the more you get knowledge of the Holy One, remember knowledge. What must you do with knowledge? Huh? What must you do with knowledge? All right, let's go back. Step one. Okay. Knowledge has to be balanced with wisdom. In other words, when you get knowledge, knowledge is information. But wisdom is seeing that information basically from God's perspective and applying that knowledge. Application of that knowledge. That will bring understanding. Let me take my time here. Let me take my time here with this word or this key of understanding. Because you will understand it better. When you understand it and when you see it from the way that is being presented, then you'll understand the church. You know, you've heard before that that you find most hypocrites in the church. Haven't you heard that? Didn't somebody say that to you? Didn't you say that probably one time when you were unsaved? You know, you might have said that when you were unsaved. Why would I go to the church? Well, man, they've got so many hypocrites in that church. Haven't you heard that? Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, the reason why there are those a statement like that is made is because there's a lot of confusion when people that are not believers, not in the kingdom of God, they're looking at the church and they hear the church say one thing with a confession, but they see the action of the church that they're doing something else. So the world says they're just full of hypocrites, because the world expects that at least the church should be holy. Right? So that's why usually when you have these scandals and stuff, things that are done, you know, with people that are in high places and high positions, you know, sometimes they kind of get a slap on the wrist, so to speak. But whenever it's a preacher, everybody's calling for blood. Isn't that true? Sure, they're calling for blood because they're saying, well, they should know better. They're the ones who are always preaching to us that stuff. So let's get on them. Isn't that true? Okay. All right. But if you understand, if you and I understand the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God and the understanding, then it will clarify a lot of things in our hearts and in our minds. So, we know knowledge is information. The information that we are interested in is the information that is from God. Right? So, the knowledge of the Holy One, when we get that knowledge, then we're seeing life basically from God or the King's perspective, from His point of view. We see that life from His point of view, and we apply what we see, that brings understanding. So you got to understand what understanding is. Understanding, based on what we just read, is the knowledge of the Holy One. Which means, when I say knowledge of the Holy One, I'm talking about a demonstration of the life of the Holy One. If I took principle from God and I applied that principle, I saw it from God's perspective and I applied that principle to my life, then that will bring me into a place where I am demonstrating the actual character or characteristic of the King. So it will be demonstrated in my life. And then that brings understanding. It brings understanding to me and it brings understanding to those who see me. You following me? No application, in other words, no wisdom, no application, no knowledge, you can forget it if you have no knowledge. So you've got to get knowledge, but after you get the knowledge, you've got to have application of that knowledge. You've got to make sure you're seeing that knowledge from God's perspective. When you begin to meditate on that, then it brings a change within your life. Now, I'll talk about the change later on. You see, the change really comes through the Spirit of God who dwells on the inside of you. He brings about the change, and then the next thing you know, you have actually become the thing that you've been meditating upon, the knowledge that you've been looking at that came from God's perspective that you're applying through meditation. So, if we were doing that on a daily basis, what would be the result of our lives? What would be evident in our lives? Character, the character of Christ, Christ-likeness, the character of Christ, the qualities of Christ,